Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. And it is a toxic world. There are many, many toxic chemicals, but they're not everything is toxic. And that's what we learn about on this show, is how to identify what's toxic and learn about how it can affect us, but also learn how to do the things to eliminate toxic exposures from our lives and to remove toxic chemicals from our bodies. It is Monday, February 24th. I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. And my guest today is a friend of mine, Sharon Hillstadt. And she is one of the most passionate advocates I've ever met for helping children learn how to read. Now, why are we doing a show about helping children how to read? It's because if someone can't read, they can't read a toxics warning label. They can't read my website. They can't read my book. They can't read any kind of information on a label that might tell them that something is toxic. And so I think that in addition to having everybody know how to read, that we also need to, and this is kind of off the subject, but related. I think we also need to be looking at, I was thinking about this morning, we need to be looking at the fact that toxics warning information is in words. And if people can't read them, they can't find out it's a toxic product, that we need to have visual, like there's the skull and crossbones. But our warning label system actually has a few different levels, and there's only a visual for the most dangerous. So in addition to skull and crossbones, we should maybe have a yellow and red and green patch or something on the labels so that people can tell at a glance visually if this product is safe or has some degree of toxic exposure. But for now, since we don't have that, today we're going to talk about reading, and we're going to talk about what the problems are about why our children can't read. Did you know that we have so many children who are going through school and they don't know how to read? We're going to talk about that, and we're going to also talk about what you can do to help children who are not reading, or even adults who are not reading, because we all need to learn how to read. We all need to know how to read. I'll tell you that my parents taught me how to read when I was 4 years old. They didn't leave it to the school systems. They taught me how to read. So when I went to kindergarten, I already knew how to read, and my other classmates didn't. And they actually thought I was so precocious that they took me out of kindergarten and they put me in first grade because I knew how to read. Anyway, hi, Sharon.
Hi, Deborah.
Thanks so much for being here. Sharon, how did you become interested in the problem of reading?
Well, I was always curious because even when I was going to grade school, in a country school in Wisconsin, all 8 grades, you kind of get a view on a lot of things that way. There were 2 boys in my school that did not learn how to read. The teacher was still working with them when they were, one of them was in 8th grade, and trying still to learn how to read. And then I went to teacher's college, and then I taught school in Minnesota and Wisconsin, not for very many years, just for a few years in the 60s. And I found that there would be 2 or 3 children in each class that I taught that were, in the low reading group, struggling to learn how to read. And I realized I had really very good tools to teach them. And then later when I had my own children, then it really hit me, that if this child that I had, if he goes to school, he's going to be taught like the way I was teaching, and he's going to be at the bottom of the class. So that's when I got super interested and read a book called Why Johnny Can't Read. And it made all the difference in how I taught my own child and how I've been teaching other children since then.
Well, what does that book say?
That book reveals the fact that it's called Why Johnny Can't Read. Johnny can't read because Johnny hasn't been taught how the English language works. And the book was published in 1955. And it became a bestseller. Parents were reading it all over the place. I even heard about it as a child. The book exposed the fact that how first graders were being taught to read had changed. For 1,000 years or so, children had been taught to read, to learn the sounds of the letters. And then blend those sounds to words, and then learn grammar and see how the words get organized so that you can have a comprehensive sentence. Well, that all changed. And by the time I was trained as a teacher, and this is why the book was so pertinent to me, because it was exactly, this was exactly how I had been taught to teach kids how to read, was with whole words, you know, up, down, Dick, Jane, spot, puff, you know, flashcard words, rather than phonic drills. And in fact, I had been taught not to teach phonics, that drilling was detrimental to a student. And of course, there are some children that are not going to learn to read unless they do learn phonics. Anyway, what was also pointed out is how dyslexia gets established. It's a child who doesn't learn to read easily. You know, some people learn to read very easily. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you must have, age four.
I think I must have, and I also think that I must have been taught with phonics, because even today, if I come up against a word that I don't know, I will just sound it out by each syllable. And that's that. I mean, I never learned to just recognize a word as a word. I learned each syllable and putting those syllables together, and I still use that today. And I never had problems reading. Never, never, never. Once I learned it, I know that you're writing a book that hasn't been published yet, and I was looking through your book, but I was also looking through some websites that you gave me the URLs of, and one of them was talking about how there's, and we'll talk more about this later, but one of them has 44 parts of the language, and that if you just learn, if you know that there's only 44, and you learn them, and you put them together, then it's so easy. It's like a puzzle, you know, and you just put the pieces together and it forms a word, and you can read that word, and then you can know what it sounds like, and then you can get the definition of that word, and you have a word. And it's just so easy. But when that is not learned by a child, then there I can see great difficulties. So how did you, we'll talk about more about that later. But you read the book, and then what happened? Tell us more about how you got from there to where you are today.
Well, when I read the book, I realized that what I had been taught to teach from in my teacher's college was actually a toxic curriculum. So, you know, it's not just chemicals that are toxic, but this curriculum was toxic. And so, anyway, it changed everything for me. And I homeschooled my son because he had a particular, you know, reading did not come natural for him. So it had to be done step by step, little by little, and work on getting a win, you know, get a gain. Oh, we know this. Mm-hmm. We can read this small book. Now we can read a bigger one. And he ended up being, you know, a scientist. And he works as a scientist at the Mayo Clinic. He's a wonderful, he can write scientific papers, and he got his PhD. Well, I didn't think that was ever going to happen when the child was 7 years old and wasn't reading. Mm-hmm. So my only goal was to make sure that he could handle his life as a literate person. I didn't know he was going to go way past me, you know, but he did. And so that's what happens when we just do things correctly. So, see, there's a new label. You know, we're quite used to the label ADD, which is attention disorder deficiency, or attention deficiency disorder, whatever it is, ADD. Well, there's another label that is more appropriate, and it's NBT. And NBT stands for never been taught. And so there are children who have never been taught the sounds of the letters, or how the vowels make the various sounds. See, we have five vowels.
I need to interrupt you for a minute because we need to go to break, but we'll talk more about this when we come back. My guest today is Sharon Hillset. She's an advocate for reading, and she's the director of tutors at the Community Learning Center in Clearwater, Florida, and a friend of mine. And I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Sharon Hillstadt. She's an advocate for helping children to read by using phonics and the director of tutors at the Community Learning Center in Clearwater, Florida. She's also the Florida State Representative for the National Right to Read Foundation, and they also help children learn to read through phonics. And if you go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, you can get the website address for her Community Learning Center and also for the National Right to Read Foundation, which has a lot of resources on it. So Sharon, tell us more about you. Before the break, you were talking about not taught children, hasn't been taught.
Yeah.
And so tell us more about that, but also tell us what are the problems that are going on today with why children aren't learning to read?
There's some huge problems that result of that, because when children are in class and they're unable to comprehend what's happening, they can't keep up with the other students or do the worksheets, then they may act out. You know, mm-hmm. it's actually pretty certain that they're going to act out. And so then they get in trouble, and they become fidgety, and they become, they can't focus, you know. And so then we end up with them being on drugs. And the recent statistic I heard is like 1 in 7 children are now diagnosed ADD or ADHD, hyperactive, thrown in there. And then, of course, the remedy is not to give them an easier gradient, like teach them the sounds of the letters and so forth, and teach them how to blend. It's not just, see, I just had a child in here that knew all the sounds of the letters, but he didn't have enough practice in blending the sounds.
And give us an example of what blending would be.
Well, okay, so the letter A, the most common sound that it makes is A, as in apple.
Uh-huh.
So to learn how to blend B and A together, he actually needs to have someone model it for him, like going ba, ba, ra, ca, da, ba. So he hears the blending. And he knew the individual sounds. So that's a problem. So putting him on drugs is not going to assist him. And even flunking him in first grade and then doing the same program the next year is not going to assist him. So I was able to set his mother up so that she can teach him, and she'll do the blending exercises that he needs. See, our English language has only 5 vowels, but we have almost like 15 vowel sounds.
Mm-hmm.
So those 5 vowels, like A, can make 3 different sounds, and it depends upon the pattern of word that it's in. So, you know, when you study the subject, well, then you know how to teach it oneself, you know. And there's plenty of ways to study the subject now. There's lots of books on it, and it doesn't take very long to be able to teach someone else how to read. It took 60 years to really teach all the teachers how not to teach correctly. it took that long because the teachers that were in the classroom that knew how to do it refused to just do Dick, Jane, you know, flashcards. But they were often teaching in secret. They would teach. They weren't supervised so closely. Now they are supervised so closely that even if they know how to do this, they probably won't be allowed to do it. I mean, this seems pretty incredible, but it's true.
It does seem incredible. So tell us like how children are taught to read today, supposedly, how they're being taught but not reading. But
yeah,
how do I
okay,
say that
well,
sentence?
Yeah.
How,
well, there's
how are
something
they being
called,
taught that ends up with them not reading?
Right. There's something called the Dolch words. That's D-O-L-C-H-E. And your audience can Google that, and they can download all the Dolch words. Well, the kindergarten children have to learn a set number of Dolch words, 40 of them, I think. And, for instance, they will have all the sounds of A in those words, you know, without having a repetitive, without seeing the same sound several times, they will see it in different ways. Like they'll get the word wall, you know, because they've got wall. These are wall words. They're stuck up on the wall. Well, here mm-hmm. the A has the third sound, the A sound. Then they'll have the word like eight, which is A-T-E, and now it has the long, what we call the long A sound. Then they'll have the word at, which has the short A sound. And this happens with every single vowel. So then the children, if they have to memorize these words, well, then they're just memorizing them as a picture, like the word becomes a symbol. And so these, and then if they get phonics later, okay, for some, all right, so now they'll go back and sound out. But for some, they have the first thing that they learned. You know, did you ever try to relearn something?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, just as an older person learning the computer when, you know, there's some things I still do by hand rather than computer just because learning can be kind of painful and you'd just rather do it the old way. And so if we teach children, first of all, to memorize whole words, oh, now we're going to teach them some phonics. Seldom do they teach them enough of it, actually, and or drill it enough. There's going to be a certain number of kids going to fall to the bottom. And I noticed that even when I was teaching in the 60s, so I didn't have too many classrooms, but in my third grade classrooms, every single classroom I had had a 2 to 3 kids that were struggling with reading, you know, about a year behind. That counts up if every classroom has that kind of statistic. We end up with 90 million adults who cannot read above the fourth grade level.
90 million adults. That's like right now there's 90 million adults who can't read in the world
they
or
cannot.
In the United States.
Right. That's called functionally illiterate. See, there's, of course, illiterate means you can read and write. Illiterate means you cannot read and write. And, you know, we can expect that we're going to have illiterate people if they've never been taught to read and write, all right?
Right.
Now, but functionally illiterate, that label came only after people were, I'll get off. Is this a break time again?
It's time to go to the break, but we'll talk about this when we come back.
Okay, good.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Sharon Hillstatt, and we're talking about reading and the necessity of being literate, because if you can't read, you can't read a toxics warning label. You can't read about toxic chemicals and safer alternatives, so we need to know how to read. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Dadd, and my guest today is Sharon Hillstatt. She's from the Community Learning Center in Clearwater, Florida, and she's also the Florida State Representative for the National Right to Read Foundation. So she's one of the most passionate advocates I've ever met for helping children learn to read, and we're talking about this today because if a person can't read, they can't read a toxics warning label. They can't read any of the information needed to educate themselves about what's toxic and what's not. So we could do things like put visual warning labels on products. I could make more videos, things like that. But people need to read. People need to read for... Sharon, tell us more reasons why people need to read.
Well, wouldn't you want the truck driver in front of you able to read?
Yes, it's kind of scary when you think about how many people don't know how to read, that they can't read street signs, they can't read instructions on a cake mix, they can't read a magazine, they can't read the deposit slip at the bank.
Yes, and what this is called, this is a new label that we didn't used to have. It's called functional illiterate. So a person who is functionally illiterate has one who has been to school. You're an illiterate if you haven't been taught, but you're a functionally illiterate if you've been taught, but you haven't learned.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, so that's why it's called functional illiterate. And it's reading at a fourth grade or below level. And it's determined that if you read at that level, you cannot handle many of the words. Like I had a 22-year-old woman who came in here about 5 years ago, and she she wanted to do better on her job. She was a nursing assistant. She couldn't get up. She actually couldn't get to be a nursing assistant. She was kind of just stuck in the kitchen or someplace, and it was because she could not read the words on the test that would allow her to move up in her job. And mm-hmm. she was a very smart girl, but she never caught on to the phonics. And so she, at 11th grade, she quit school. You know, she didn't graduate. And her reading level was a little over second grade as far as the test that I could give her. She did not know how to work with the vowels at all. And so in just a very few lessons, she was able, her reading started to improve because she knew her short vowel sounds. Then we worked on the letter teams, you know, the EA and the all these letter team type things, OW, what it will do. She called me up near Christmas time that year. "Sharon, I just read the word ornament," she says. "Dang, I didn't think I could ever do that."
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, eventually that girl was able to take the test and get the job that she wanted to get, move up. She was able to make more money, and she stopped me out. I saw her out in public one time and stopped and told me, "See that car over there? I was just able to buy that because of you." And it was really because of her, because she had the nerve to just call up and demand to learn to read. She told me over the phone, she says, "Well, yeah, I can read, but I can't read all the words on the back of my driver's license," you know. Mm-hmm. And so she knew. So she couldn't read all the words. She thought she had to memorize all of them, all right? And anyway, a few years later, I'm tutoring her kindergartner and her second grader, and they're sounding out words like cat and cut and sat and sit, and she's watching them, and she says, "Sharon, I didn't know how to do that when I was their age, did I?" I said, "You sure didn't. You had to wait until she was 22 years old before somebody, which was me at that time, taught her how to do that." And so that's the miracle that can be done by people who just know the phonic method, have a program, and by all means, I encourage your listeners to go to your website and because they can download a phonics program.
Yeah, hey, just go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com, yeah. And you'll see Sharon's description of the show today, and it has the website address for the Community Learning Center, but also for the National Right to Read Foundation, because they have so many materials there about how you can, and you can just download them, and you can start helping your child to read. You can start helping an adult that you know who doesn't know how to read or who is functionally illiterate. You can help them learn how to read. I think a lot of people, I think, Sharon, when did they start not teaching phonics? Because I think I must have slipped in right under the edge there, because I did have phonics, and that's what my parents knew to do. But when did they stop teaching
that? It started. Some school districts have thrown out all the phonic material and muzzled their phonic teachers as early as the 30s.
Wow.
And so then students that needed that direction weren't getting it starting in the 30s. Well, now teachers kept teaching it anyway, including my teacher, right? So I had Dick and Jane books, but I also had a phonic workbook. Well, all right, it would be better not to have to have Dick and Jane and just do the phonics for a while so that, when you learn that A says at, you learn a whole bunch of words where it says at.
Right. Right.
And if you learn I says if, you learn a whole bunch of words. In fact, if the children just learned the short vowel sounds, a, I, a, a, o, these are the short vowels of the five vowels, they would be able to read and spell over 1,500 words without memorization. Fast and must and spit. And they, look at the confidence then they would have in that. Well, then you can teach them what the E does to the vowel, then you can teach them the double vowels and the reasons why the vowels change their sounds, and it's all a big game. Instead of that, we're just making it total drudgery for the children because they have to memorize words like their pictures, and children will do that, but you know what? It ends up, by the time they get in fourth grade, they can't memorize more words. And if they haven't realized themselves that they can sound out words you know, or somebody hasn't taught them, you know, then they will be a very low-level reader. They won't read books, you know.
Yeah.
They just won't read books, then they won't write books. You know, then they won't write letters to the editor.
They you just know, won't they communicate. Might. And communication is so fundamental to life. It's just, mm-hmm. I think the most important thing in life at all is communication. That if you can't communicate, I mean, a lot of people can communicate verbally, but the written word is so important as well in today's world to get your message out, whatever it is that you have to say. And just having that confidence that you know that you can communicate, I think, makes a big difference for people. We need to take the next break, but we'll be right back.
Okay.
My guest is Sharon Hillstadt. She's the director of tutors at the Community Learning Center in Clearwater, Florida, and also the Florida representative for the National Right to Read Foundation. We do have the right to be able to read. And so you can go to my website, find out how to get to her website, toxicfreetalkradio.com, and we'll be back. Toxic Free Talk Radio, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Sharon Hillstadt. She's the director of tutoring at the Community Learning Center in Clearwater, Florida. And we're talking about reading today because if you can't read, you can't read a toxics warning label. There's so much information that we need to have in order to protect ourselves from toxic chemicals and consumer products today that we need to be able to read and get that information because not all of it is on video, not all of it is visual. We need to be able to read. And if you know somebody who doesn't read or is functionally illiterate, then there's something you can do. You can help them learn to read with phonics. You know, Sharon, I was just thinking over the break that in the dictionary, and I even looked it up to make sure I was right, in the dictionary, the words are spelled out in syllables.
Yeah.
And so we haven't lost that in the dictionary.
No, right. And so if the child can sound out these small words, well, then all the syllables are, they can sound those out, you know, there's three or four letters at a time.
Right.
And, of course, each syllable has one vowel sound, you know.
Right.
And so they just go from vowel sound to vowel sound. Right. I think there is something perhaps your listeners might be interested in, and that is the definition of dyslexia.
Oh, please tell us.
Yes. Well, during the 20s, parents thought that something had to be wrong with their children's brains because their children weren't learning to read. And so they took their kids to Dr. Samuel Orton. Now, Dr. Samuel Orton was a neurosurgeon and one of the very first brain doctors. Now, Dr. Orton looked over the kids' brains and couldn't find anything wrong with them. So then he started to look over how they were being taught to read. And he found, one for one, every child brought to him had been taught to read with the new method at that time, which was whole word. And so what he did is he got phonic teachers, and there were a bunch of them around, you know, because this was during the 20s. He got these phonics teachers to work with the kids and put them through a phonics program, and every single one recovered and became able to read. And he concluded that they would have never have had a reading problem if they had been taught with phonics in the first place.
Yes.
He's the one that named the brain problem dyslexia. And the symptoms of dyslexia are a lot of reversal, slowness, and misunderstanding in reading. And the cure was teach them how the language works, you know. Because the English language does have a complex phonic system, all right? It's not a one-for-one, you know. Some of our letters make more than one sound, and some of our sounds are made in two or three different ways. So to not teach it step by step and carefully is as criminal, as far as I'm concerned. I just consider it absolutely criminal. And so that's what we're trying to handle here, is any teacher who wants to learn how to do it right can come here and we'll show them how.
I was thinking about how this applies to so many different things that, like I'm a very good reader, but I'm not good at math. And I think that I was taught well to read by being taught through phonics, but I wasn't taught in whatever the equivalent is of phonics about how to understand numbers and how to understand math. And it actually wasn't until, maybe 10 years ago, I read a book, and the name of it escapes me at the moment, but it was all about numbers, and it was just about the numbers 1 through 10, and it showed how the number appeared in nature and different characteristics of the number. And so it wasn't just an abstract thought that this is a 1 or a 3, that it really had meaning, and that there was like poetry and mythology and all these things. And it's like the numbers became real to me. And I think that one can be taught any subject by breaking it down into those essential pieces, and then you can put it together. Like, I'm a really good cook. I learned how to cook when I was 6 years old. But, you know, who would be like cooking illiterate, they could pick up a cookbook and it could say, beat the egg and saute the mushrooms. And they would have no idea what that meant if they could read it. But they would not understand what those terms meant because they haven't learned the bits and pieces. But once you learn how to boil water and beat an egg and those kinds of things, you can put that together to make all kinds of food. And I think that that's true for probably any subject.
Sure, you got to learn it step by step and learn the essential data first and learn the easiest thing first.
Yes.
Boiling water is like the sound. You know, if we taught the children the sounds of B, A, and T, and then taught them that C and A together would blend out ca, and then help them to blend out the whole word, you know, you just teach the easiest thing first. And I had this little first grader that was in here on Friday night. One of his words was penguin. So, of course, now he'll remember that word because it's the longest word in the book. Starts with a P, okay, so that's penguin. But that's the way a lot of kids are learning to read, is like, what is the first letter? What's the first letter? Then they guess it from the context of the sentence, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I had, so I had a mother recently bring in 3 children that were helping, and I checked out the mom, and she's reading under a third grade level, and she didn't even know it. She knew she was a bad speller, but she didn't know she was that bad of a reader. And because she would guess words, she would just guess at, oh, if it starts with a D, it must be blah, you know. Anyway.
It's so unnecessary. It's like, you know, in some ways, what you're talking about is as unnecessary as people being exposed to toxic chemicals. Because we know what the answer is. We know that the way to teach children how to read is to use phonics. We know that there are non-toxic products available for every toxic product that there is. It's just a matter of knowing these things. And it's so unnecessary for people to not read. It's so unnecessary for people to be made ill by toxic chemical exposure. It's making that choice, you know?
Right. It's solving problems. And
right.
The inability to solve problems starts with an unwillingness to confront the problem. You know?
Yes.
And so the simplest thing is to just look and then evaluate. Now, what's wrong with this? What's right with this? And then do something about it. And so I'm glad you're doing what you're doing in your field of expertise. And I hope I help as many people as you do.
Well, I'm sure you do, Sharon. It's so fundamental. I think what both each of us are doing is just one of those fundamental things of life. We're almost getting to the end of the show. There was one more thing that I wanted to mention that I know you work with too, and that is looking up words in the dictionary. There's so many. I mean, you can read, you could write, and then the next step is about understanding and being able to communicate to another person and have that person understand what you're saying, have that other person's communication, have you understand what it's saying. And as a writer, I look up a lot of words. I just look up a lot of words, and I try to use the correct word for what it is that I'm wanting to say. And if I'm ever uncertain, I look up the word. And to look up words in the dictionary, you need to be able to read. You need to be able to see, you know, those syllables and put them together as a word. And it's just, I would just encourage anybody who hasn't been using a dictionary to get a dictionary. You don't even have to get a paper one because it's they're online. I use right. online dictionaries all the time. I have one built into my computer. It came with my computer. It's actually my favorite dictionary. And so you have that comprehension. In the field of toxics, there's so many words that are new words that people don't know what it is those words even mean. And so it's something that you have to learn. You need to learn what formaldehyde is and how it affects you if you're going to understand what people are talking about when they're discussing the subject. And unfortunately, this is a subject that people need to know something about. So I just wanted to get that in on this show.
Well, we're very big on dictionaries here. And in fact, we give dictionaries away. to families to make sure that they have a dictionary in their home because a lot of families don't.
Yes.
And it's good if they can get online and get it, but there's families that don't have computers or maybe it's just not handy. I mean, I think it's handy sometimes just to look it up in a regular dictionary.
I think so, too. I have several regular dictionaries in my house, you know, especially like I have one next to the bed, so if I'm reading in bed, I'm not going to jump out of bed and go look in the computer.
Right.
But also I'm happy that I have a dictionary in my cell phone so that if I'm out someplace, I can just look up a word.
There's no excuse these days, is it?
Right.
There's just no excuse not to understand what you're talking about and what you're hearing.
Right.
You know, also when we talk about illiteracy, it's being able to read what other people write and then being able to write what you want to write.
Right.
I read a few months ago that people would put ads on, you know, on the internet to sell things, and they would misspell the terms. And so one guy caught on to that, and so he was looking through, you know, the ads for a whole bunch of machines, and he saw one that was spelled rather oddly, and he thought, I wonder if they mean something else. And he got something that should have cost him about $150 for $25.
Wow.
I need
to interrupt you now because the show is over. We're going to be, the music's going to come on in about 5 seconds. So thank you so much for being with me, Sharon. This is Sharon Hillstatt. Please go to Toxic Free Talk Radio and find out how to get to her website and find out more about how you can help people learn how to read with phonics. I'm Deborah Lindat. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio.